And joining us now is Michael LaFave, Director of Maury Fiscal Policy Center and Director of Fiscal Policy for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. And, Michael, thanks for joining us again. We appreciate it.
The pleasure's mine, John.
Did I hit that right, 19,000 jobs?
You did sum it up correctly. The Mackinac Center has long recognized that economic incentives of every sort can influence decisions that people and job providers make, and taxes are just one obvious example. And because we have a lot of experience in this field and we understand economic theory, we recognize that raising the price of just about anything would reduce the quantity demanded of it, such as business services, and have a negative effect on the overall economy. So in an attempt to measure just what that impact might be, we actually went to our colleagues at the Beacon Hill Institute, one of the largest and most experienced tax modeling groups in the nation, and we asked them, all other things being equal, what would the net impact be on Michigan if we adopted just the governor's two-penny tax, which is the largest component of her overall tax reform package? And they came back with estimates that said 19,000 jobs in Michigan, an additional 19,000, would be killed through about fiscal 2008 if this particular component of the tax plan was imposed on Michigan taxpayers. Moreover, they reported that the state could expect new revenues flowing into the Treasury as a result of the tax to come in about $220 million below what the administration is counting on. And that's an important factor because we've seen in the past 4 or 5 years that the estimates that are being made for budget makers to calculate the type of money that they expect to flow into the Treasury has been off, and they've had to reorder the budget mid-year in order to solve these problems. And we think they might have to do it again if they don't consider these dynamic revenue estimates that Beacon Hill Institute made for us based on this new tax plan.
Now, your Jack McHugh has written a book or a paper, How to Replace the SBT with Nothing.
That's correct.
And I urge everyone to read that. Why isn't the governor listening to common sense on this issue? I keep asking people that question. I'm not getting an answer that's satisfying to me.
Well, first, politicians from both parties prefer pleasure to pain, just like every other living creature. And they recognize that making the hard decisions that will be controversial will often produce more pain for them than pleasure. So they look for more of the silver bullet ideas. And often the path of least resistance is simply reaching deeper into the pockets of taxpayers. That's why such proposals are sold as, well, if you pay an extra $1.63, you can keep police on the street, or you can keep your teacher in the classroom. But it's far more dynamic than that when you reach into their pockets. It's not just a $65 per person. It's the aggregate impact of that proposal that changes the landscape of Michigan's economy. Now, the proposal that you brought up that was written by my colleague Jack McHugh can be found at the top of our website at www.mackinac.org, and it recommends $1.8 billion worth of government reforms, some direct cuts, some just changing the way government provides services, that would allow us to avoid raising taxes and save money going forward. This is particularly important given the fact that in 2008, the state is going to need to report out officially what it owes current and future state employees for their health care retirement packages today. And that's going to rank into the billions and billions of dollars. So we're not done with this budget problem yet, even if the governor gets her wishes.
And there are some sacred cows to our dear governor that she simply will not touch that make so much sense. And I want to talk about a couple of those.
Sure.
In just a minute. We're going to take a short break. And we're also going to open up the phone lines, 800-859-0WJR. That's 800-859-0957. I'm most interested in talking to people who are in favor of this 2% excise tax, who feel that, as does our governor, well, hey, you know, it's only 2 cents on the dollar. We can afford it as consumers. I'd like to talk to somebody who's in favor of that as I continue with Michael LaFave, Director of Fiscal Policy for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. with my special guest, Michael LaFave, Director of Fiscal Policy for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Got callers standing by. We'll get to them in just a second. We're talking about Jennifer Granholm's proposed 2% excise tax on some services, actually most services. And I mentioned, Michael, before we took the break, some sacred cows the governor seems to have, and one of them being the administration of this retirement and pension plan for the state. It's currently administered, I believe, by the Michigan Education Association indirectly. Privatizing that would amount in some savings. Could you go through that whole scenario?
I think you're referring to the Hay Group report and savings,
yes,
which would rationalize public school health insurance, include requiring co-pays and preferred provider networks. There was a study done at the request of the Legislative Services Council in Michigan. It was authored by this group called the Hay Group. And they determined that a state-run health insurance pool for teachers could save as much as $422 million.
Tomorrow.
This would not be tomorrow. The $422 million would be the first full year, first fiscal full year, which would run 2009 to 2010. The savings for tomorrow would be considerably less, probably a quarter of that.
Okay. Why can't we do that? What's the downside to the Joe Lunchbucket like me to having that happen?
Well, there isn't a downside necessarily for you. However, the state has to consider the fact that many of the teachers who benefit from this particular health care package would oppose it, and these are a favored constituent of Governor Granholm and others in Lansing. Although MESA isn't necessarily the best choice for health care teachers, I was told that I think it was teachers in Pinckney overwhelmingly voted to replace MESA, and they were able to save $160 per student with this one simple change. And we found other savings in the school arena as well. For instance, some districts are saving as much as $190 per student by contracting out for janitorial services. The whole idea here, that the reason districts are doing this is so that they can keep teachers in the classroom and focus on their core mission rather than wasting taxpayer dollars on these ancillary services.
And it's interesting to me that there is so much objection by the teachers to having to do what I do, which is make a small copay and belong to a PPO.
Everyone is self-interested, so I understand the self-interested nature of people looking to advance their own well-being. They consider this part of their overall compensation package. But this is an important fact the people of Michigan need to remember. In 2006, the state crossed the Rubicon, you might say. For the first full year in the record-keeping history that I was able to obtain, there are more government employees in Michigan, and that includes federal, state, school, university, than there are manufacturing employees. And that is a scary thing when you consider how much better off public employees are compensated in total, when you include their health care package, than those who pay the bills of government.
As evidenced by the city council in Detroit, in a cost-cutting move that really touched the hearts of every citizen who read about it, asking all city employees who make $100,000 a year or more to roll back to $100,000. And I am still waiting for somebody to tell me how many of those city employees are making over $100,000 a year. I think it would surprise and scare a lot of people.
Indeed. You'd be surprised at how many people across the state work in government make extraordinary salaries. The problem is, because many of the salaries are not determined through market competition, you can't tell whether or not they really deserve that. There's not supply and demand working to determine that price. It's sort of a government mandate.
Let's get to the phones. John and Jackson, you're first this morning on the Frank Beckman Show. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. The lead editorial in last Friday's Wall Street Journal proves that the more the state takes in taxes, the more it spends. Between 1995 and 2007, according to this editorial, the state of Michigan spent an aggregate $14 billion above the rate of inflation and its state population. Could you please comment on that? Thank you.
Thank you for the call, John.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. As much as I would like to call this LaFave's Law, I think somebody said it first. Government will always find a way to expand into the resources available to it. When that happens and there's a downturn in the economy or some other shock, they often look to taxpayers to maintain those government programs that were begun when times were good. In fact, someone once said that the closest thing to immortality is a government program. That's why it's so important for institutions like the Mackinac Center to point out exactly where the state could either eliminate programs or departments or simply reform state government. You might not be aware of this, but we've recommended devolving state police road patrols to the counties to save $65 million. The service would continue being provided, so it's not a either we raise your taxes or you lose police. The services would continue. It's just that the men and women who are now wearing a blue uniform would be wearing a brown uniform.
And there's this government philosophy. I used to work for a company that has three initials that makes computers and office equipment way back when they used to use those antiquated things called typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to, in the secretarial school sections, vocational schools and so forth, and even in regular high schools, once a year it was like a windfall to us because we would simply call up the superintendent of schools and say, how many do you want? And that was based on the fact that they never spent their entire budget, but they wanted to spend their entire budget because they knew if they came in under budget, there would be a problem next year. They would be cut back. So they would take these things and never unpack them. Just stick them in a warehouse.
Indeed. And
that's criminal.
There's a wonderful example out of Indianapolis from the 1990s when a Parks and Recreation director discovered that he had money left over in his budget at the end of a budgeting cycle. He was afraid if he'd give it back, they'd realize he needed less money and cut his budget, and he didn't want that to happen. So he went on a spending spree, which included purchasing 40,000 pounds of chalk, and it wasn't even the right kind of chalk. So you have to be careful about the incentives you present to people because they can mess with your intentions because everyone...
Why is this such a huge issue now when for 12 years the Republicans were in office and did basically nothing? Let's cut the partisan garbage and discuss real cuts in our state, in our schools, because he was absolutely right about them overspending to use the money. Let's talk about it real and not put all this partisan stuff in.
Well, I hope that you understand, Sue, and that other people in the audience understand that I'm not being partisan in this case, although I it may sound that way.
You do come across that
well,
way.
Well, it's not a partisan thing. It is a government thing. Government is too darn big in Michigan. We've got to do some cutbacks. Let them take 2 cents less on the dollar across the board in government. That'll cover the whole thing.
But let's be honest. When you're asking the teachers to give up their health care system, you're asking to transfer the SBT tax that was on small businesses. You're asking the teachers to accept that tax and pay it in copay.
Okay, Sue, that's a good point. Let's let Michael comment on that, please.
First of all, government doesn't exist for the sake of government employment. All we're asking government employees to do is have a more competitive health care system the way the people who are paying their bills do. It's called rationalizing the health care expenditures, and it's just one area, not just teachers. And I might add that I have been a critic of John Engler as well as Governor Granholm, and I have had reason to praise both as well, and on the budget issue. When Governor Granholm first took office, she made real spending cuts that hurt her constituents, say arts funding, for instance, which she capped, and I praised her for that. I will continue to do so, and it won't just be if she reforms the way we fund and provide health care benefits to school teachers.
And let me also mention that I work with some people in state government, and I praised how she kept a couple of departments alive that they actually thought were going to be gone. Somehow they managed to keep them, and they do actually do some good for the state of Michigan. Now, they did have to take some humongous cuts, but they did take cuts, and she'd managed to save the department. So, I'm not trying to be a Granholm basher, except in this case. I do not agree with her philosophy, and I know some people who are going to go out of business as a result of this 2% excise tax. And that's not to even mention, Michael, the number of people she's going to drive underground. In other words, I'm talking here like hairdressers and other people who can pull themselves out of the shop, do it at home, and not even have it pass through the system.
I'm glad you brought that up because the state of Florida actually expanded a sales tax to services in the late 1980s, and they had to hire 240 new tax chasers to make sure no one was cheating on them, and it turned out to be such a disaster that after a year they repealed it.
Yeah, and I was there when that happened, it was incredible. I want to thank you, Michael, for being with us. I wish we had more time to talk about the issue. We don't, but I'm sure we'll have you back again. You're very informative. Appreciate it.
And, I look forward to it.
We'll have the other side on one of these days and let you two go at it that way. How's that?
That would be wonderful.
Okay, thank you. Michael Lefebvre, Director of Fiscal Policy for the Mackinac Center.